I used to have trouble eating meat. Every time I had chicken, for instance, it never seemed to agree with me. I'd say I wanted to eat it, and the chicken would say it didn't want me to. Then the Burkis way introduced me to cheese. The effect was shattering. Cheese never argues, no matter what you do to it. Today I live entirely on cheese. In fact, I wouldn't make a cheese sandwich out of anything else. Thanks to the Burkis way.
I was fat, ugly, and repulsive. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get to go out with men. Then a friend suggested I try Burkis toothpaste. The effect was shattering. Now I go out with tubes of toothpaste. And I get no complaints at all. What's more, I don't have to worry when I eat cheese, thanks to the Burkis way. Was that all right?
I used to be thick. I was unable to do simple things like write and... what's that say?
Read.
Then one day a fiend introduced me to the Burgess Wag. And so I can ride and redistribute.
Read.
I can read all the choice lapels I want.
Cheese labels.
All the cheese labels I want. Thanks to the Burgess Wog.
Yes, these testimonies prove it. The Burgess way to dynamic living will change your life. If you're weak, we'll make you strong. If you're poor, we'll make you rich. If you're a man, we'll make you a woman. If you have any trouble whatever over cheese, we'll sort it out for you. Enlist now in the BBC's first ever all-radio correspondence course, The Burkis Way.
NB. This week's course in The Burkis Way is being sponsored by the Huizzo Cheese Company of Croydon. This is the only point at which we shall mention the name of Huizzo, the pure, sumptuous cheese that arouses the taste buds, stimulates the stomach, and excites the intestines. And it is not our aim to in any way interfere with the direction and scope of this otherwise completely un-cheese-orientated program. Thank you.
Burkis way, or you too can have a cheese like mine. Yes, get ready, students. Out with your notebooks, put that stilton away, because it's time to learn more incredible secrets about the Burkis way to dynamic living. This week, we present another lesson in our series, Pass Examinations, the Burkis way. Instruction is given by Denise Coffey, Chris Emmett, Fred Harris, and Nigel Reese.
Yes, it's quite nice with a cream cracker, isn't it? Sorry. Good evening. And welcome to program 2 in our series, The Burkis Way to Dynamic Living.
The principles formulated by Professor Emil Burkis will allow you to harness hidden talents. If you'd like to enlist in our course, don't delay, just fill in the following form.
I am a weedy and thoroughly pathetic poltroon. Please send me details of how I can be conned out of money through your course. My name is dot, 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 dot. My address is dot, 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 dot. Sam, dot, 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 dot. Postcode, dot, 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 dot. Signature of parent or guardian, dot, 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 dot. I agree to be bound by the articles and also by the hands and feet. I am completely dodgy.
That's it. Now, once you've filled that in, tear it out of the program.
I am a weedy and thoroughly pathetic poultry.
And send it with your bank manager to the Burkis Way, Stepney. Callers welcome. No stamp is needed. Simply catch a train to Stepney and pop it through our letterbox. Now, you two are ready to take part in this week's course. how to pass examinations the Berkis way.
Yes, by the end of this course, you could have an intelligence quotient equal to none. You'll amaze people with your extensive knowledge of IQ test answers. You'll know the things that most people only dream of knowing.
Floor people by telling them that Martha Thrigg Crate is an anagram of Margaret Thatcher.
Fool the birds as never before by announcing that the next number in the series 72, 288 and 1152 is 4,608.
Yes, you'll learn all this and more in the Berkis Way to Dynamic Living. In fact, in no time at all, you'll be able to appear on TV and radio quiz games just like this one.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Auntie Game, a brand new radio quiz which is all about aunties. So let's get straight on and meet tonight's panel, who are Isabel Barnett's auntie, Mrs. Gladys Barnett.
Good evening.
William Rushton's auntie, Mrs. Elsie Rushton.
Hello.
And Danny LaRue's auntie, Miss Angela LaRue.
Good evening.
Well. Well, those are the aunties who are going to play the auntie game tonight. So here we go now with our first question on aunties. Whose auntie was known as the lady with the lamp? Yes, and Isabel Barnett's auntie has got her light on.
Edwin James Nightingale.
Is the right answer. And, of course, his auntie was...
I'm sorry, I don't know that.
It doesn't matter. Edwin James Nightingale was what we wanted. Now, on to you, William Rushton's auntie. Which is the odd one out here? Elizabeth I, George the VI, Queen Victoria and Doris Clackett of Four, the Gasworks, Grimsby.
George the VI.
Correct. All the rest are, of course, aunties. Now, on to Danny LaRue's auntie's question. What relation was Cleopatra to Prince Nimrod Xerxes of Egypt?
Was she his stepmother?
No, I'm afraid she was, in fact, his auntie. I don't think you've quite got the hang of this game yet. See if you have any better luck with this one. Tell me the next letter in the following series. A-U-N-T...
Why?
Oh, well, if you're going to argue about it, forget it. Back to... Back to Isabel Barnett, auntie. If you had an auntie, would you hang it up in the laundrette to kill the flies, wear it on bank holidays to make your dinner taste better, or send it a card on its birthday?
I'd wear it on bank holidays to make my dinner taste better.
Correct. And why would you do that?
Because I'm mad.
Correct again. Now for the free-for-all. Which cheese were Mrs. Mabel Picasso and Mrs. Maisie Darley talking about when they said that... Oh, and Mrs. Gertrude Messiter being hit over the head with a gong tells us our time's up. And I see that Isabel Barnett's auntie is the winner, so she gets our star prize, a year's supply of Christmas aftershave packs from the auntie of her choice.
Thank you.
Join us once again next week when it'll be time to play another edition of the Auntie Game. Till then, this is Joan Bakewell's nephew saying bye for now.
Well, so much for the panel games. Let's take a closer look at the whole question of intelligence. Most of your formal education, of course, comes at school, and one of the most useful subjects to study is languages. Ah, you are one language man. Can you only speak English? The Berkis Language Center can have you speaking a fluent foreign language in only 24 hours. Callers, welcome.
Here we are, my 20,000 quid.
Thank you.
I only know English and would like to speak a fluent foreign language.
Thank you, and here's an airline ticket. Now all you have to do is go and live in Germany. Next.
Eventually, of course, comes the question. What should you do after you leave school? Well, why not go home and have some tea? Some toasted cheese rolls, macaroni cheese, and then try and get down to some serious studying.
Not every university student wants to take arts, of course. If you've got an A in physics and a B in chemistry, it's fairly obvious you can't spell.
If you study long enough,
You can become a man of letters or postgraduate, as it is sometimes. But how do you pass these all-important exams? What is university really like? Listen carefully to the following item.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Straitman.
Good morning. So you'll be joining us here at the University of Barnsley, will you? I'm the dean.
I'm sorry I'm late, but every time I try to get into the lift, it seems to be full of sheep.
Oh, that'll be the students. It's rag week, you know.
Oh, I see. The students fill the lifts with sheep, do they?
No. Those are the students.
What do you mean?
You see, a couple of years ago, quite by chance, we had a sheep apply to the university, you see. It had quite good A-levels, so we invited it along, and before we knew where we were, hundreds of other sheep had come with it.
Hundreds?
Yes, there must be. Let me see now. One, two, three.
Dean.
Who are you? What is it? Oh, yes. Yeah, I guess we must have at least 6,000 of them here, and another 2,000 or so over there in the medical school.
But haven't you any proper students at all?
Proper students? I don't know. No.
Why not?
I suppose our entrance standards are just too high.
But I don't understand. What do they study?
Here we run lectures in pastures, higher pastures, and even higher pastures. And, of course, advanced transfinite mathematics.
Advanced transfinite mathematics?
Yes, but we don't really get many sheep doing that.
No,
they much prefer mid-European cheeses of the 1500s, which is on at the same time.
Really?
No, not really.
I see. And all these sheep, they come out with a BA, I suppose, do they?
No. All, most of them come out with a BAA.
I see.
Anyway, don't let any of this put you off. Let's get down to your qualifications, shall we?
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, we'll just forget all this nonsense about sheep and get down to the real business in hand, teaching.
Quite.
Now then, how many sheep have you taught before?
Pardon?
How many sheep at your last university?
Well, none.
None?
No.
Oh, dear. What about the goats?
Goats?
They're very similar.
I'm afraid I haven't taught any goats either.
No previous experience in lecturing to ruminant ungulates at all.
No,
not to worry. Just see that they don't run out of pens. And if they wait around, you know, just wave a jar of mint sauce about that. You know. Now, any questions?
Yes.
Good. Well, in that case, you might as well start straight away. I expect you'd like me to introduce you to the rest of the show.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, right. Well, I'll just ask them in over the intercom. Hup, carry to his bus. Now left university, you've become a mature young man, and you've had several successes under your belt. You are now ready for a little IQ test. With us to talk about the test is one of the top men of Mensa, Sir Edwin Burkis, M.A., M.Sc., Ph.D., and whatever other letter completes the series.
Good evening. Well, I want, first of all, to start with a very simple IQ test. That is, of course, IQ test for the more advanced students. Question one. A, B, C, D, E. What comes next? Time's up. Yes, the answer is, of course, question two. Question three. I have a collection of pet corgis. I live at Windsor. And I go to ostentatious functions in long, expensive dresses and diamond tiaras. Who am I? Time's up. Yes, that's right, Sir Edwin Burkis. And question four. Sperm whales are found in A, the Atlantic, B, the Pacific, or C, the Antarctic. Time's up. And the answer is, of course, C, All sperm whales are found in the sea. Well, how did you do on that? That was a very simple test, devised by our sister organization for people with the lowest IQ, Densa.
Well, thank you very much, Professor Edwin Burkis, M.A., M.S.C., Ph.D., and T.
Where did you get the T from?
From the machine downstairs. Come on. Well, we've just got time to get some during the intermission.
There will now be a short intermission.
Coming soon to this intermission. You laughed at Carry On Up the Khyber. You screamed at Jaws. You choked out loud at the love story. You cried out at the towering inferno. Well, now, why don't you just shut up and let the rest of us watch the films in peace?
Well, now it's time to end our program on examinations with a look at the Burkis Way in action.
In the next piece of film, we see how the Burkis Way to becoming one of the biggest heroes of the Second World War helped Reggie Braithwaite to become one of the biggest heroes of the Second World War.
Captain Reggie Braithwaite was a man who didn't know the meaning of the word fear. A man who spelled surrender, N-O. In short, he was an idiot. Yet his record in World War II dogfights was unequalled. During his spell as a fighter pilot, he shot down a total of 197 planes, at least half of which were German. As each bullet found its target, so another notch would be carved on the side of his plane.
Algie, what the deuce? I told you were carving these notches too deep, man.
Sorry, Captain.
We're diving now. Our only hope is to jump and float down as slowly as we can. That means getting rid of all heavy weights. Come on, off with the parachute.
Right, Ozar.
Right, come on, here we go. I'm following you, sir.
And so Reggie and his Batman Algie floated down to safety and landed inside the Stalag 10 prison camp, where they spent the next 3 years trying to escape.
All right now, chaps, I call this meeting of the escape committee to order. I have apologies for absence from Spotty White and Stinker Harris, who unfortunately can't be with us as they've escaped. Bit of a pity, that. They'll never learn anything if they don't turn up for the meeting. Now, on to our annual report. Smelly Smith.
Yes. Well, the Committee of Accounts for the year ended April the 6th, disappointingly low weight of escapes.
Yeah.
In fact, our escape attempts have been so bad, we've got 10 more prisoners now than when we started.
Why is this, Smelly?
Well, of course, one of the big problems at the moment is knowing which direction to start digging the tunnel.
I thought we worked all that out once, Smelly. Yes, yes, here we are. Look. Downwards. Yes.
I'm afraid the rest of the report is not much better, Captain. As you know, our first plan to escape was an abysmal failure.
Which one was that?
The one where 3 men went up to the main gates and asked if they could go home.
Yes. Yes, it was a bit of a blunder, that one, wasn't it? If only they hadn't gone and caught the wrong train here. Of course, once they landed up in Japan, the cheese gave them away immediately. Still, it almost worked.
And now I have to report that the Germans have just found our number one escape tunnel.
Oh, now that's a bit of luck. I thought we'd lost that one for good. The trouble is, you see, chaps, the goons always seem to be on to us. I wonder if there's an informer in this hut. What do you think, Snotty Potter?
Nein. I think this is just what you call the old Frau's tale, yeah?
Are you sure, Snotty?
Oh, absolutely, Herr Captain. I'm a German. Italian. No, I'm a Dutchman, yes. I am a Dutchman, yeah.
Well, I'll say one thing then. At least we've got one success to our credit. That dummy model of Johnny Mills we made 3 years ago. They never did recapture that, did they?
And I hear it's still making films over in Britain and no one's noticed a difference.
Could it? Where's the business? I called this special meeting because I've got a new plan up my sleeve. As you know, last week I ordered you to make my former Batman, Algie, up as a woman. How's it coming along, Algie?
It's all finished now, Captain.
That's amazing, Algy. Absolutely amazing. How you've changed. The bulging chest, the coiffured hair, the flashy sequin dress. You've got rid of them all. How did the men get you to look so realistic?
Well, what they did was...
Yes, yes. Oh, dear.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really? Well, Algy, we all have to make sacrifices in wartime.
It was a pretty big sacrifice, Captain.
Don't listen to him. It wasn't that big.
No squabbling, chaps. No squabbling at all. The reason I had Algy dress up like this is so that when we escape, we too can pose as husband and wife.
That's a brilliant idea, Captain.
Thank you, Algy.
Which do you want to be?
Well, never mind that now, Algy. We're supposed to be arranging this new secret escape plan of mine. Right, any questions?
But you haven't told us what the plan is yet, Captain.
If he did that, it wouldn't be secret, would it?
Exactly. It's a bit of a shame it's so secret, really. It means we'll never be able to use it. Still, fortunately, I've got another one which isn't quite so secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the Germans here are masters of disguise.
Yeah.
Well, patience, chaps, patience. Two can play at that game.
Surely only one can play at patience, Captain.
Not if you cheat, Algy.
Yeah.
Now, watch carefully. I have over here a German greatcoat.
Really?
Yes. I made it out of old corned beef tin. Pretty convincing, eh? I've got some more here. Now, look, come on, chaps. All we do is put them off. And now we screw these monocles in.
Huh.
In your eye, Scurfy Muldoon, in your eye. And dab this boot polish under your nose.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's it. Now, when the commandant walks through that door, he'll think we're all Germans and release us. Smart, isn't it?
Captain, I don't think it'll work. I mean, I don't think anyone would mistake us for Germans.
No, we don't look a bit like Germans.
Quiet, all of you, quiet. Listen, I hear footsteps approaching. Now we'll see whether it fools anybody or not. Just watch this.
Okay, you limeys, you're liberated. Oh, Germans, eh? Take that.
You see, Algy, I told you it would fool anybody.
Well, there we are. Reggie Braithwaite's plan passed the final test. And if you've listened to today's program, you should have passed your academic test, IQ test, and your driving test. In fact, with all the knowledge you've accumulated tonight, you should by now be Prime Minister. Let's ring up that weedy poltroon who filled in the form at the beginning of the show and see if it's worked for him.
Hello? 10 Downing Street here. Can I help you?
Mr. Callaghan?
Hang on a minute. Jim, someone wants you on the phone. Hello, Jim Callaghan speaking. Who's he?
Oh, never mind. It wasn't important. Important anymore. Are you tired of bullies laughing at you on the beach? Then send £6,000 to Charles Birch's Bodybuilding and let our experts, Denise Goffey, Nigel Reese, Chris Emmett, and Fred Harris, come and laugh at you in the privacy of your own home. Andrew Marshall, John Mason, and David Renwick will write humiliating scripts about you, and eventually, you too could be produced by Simon Brett of Stepney. See you next week, and remember the name now, Wizzo Cheeses of Croydon. Bye!